Today's shir is Masech Tekedushin Daf Samach Dalad. We will begin in Daf Samach Dalad on Aleph by the Mishnah. If a father says Kedashti Espiti, I married off my daughter. Or Kedashtia Vigarashtia, I married her off and I also had accepted a get Kshiktana while she was a Ktana. And when he's making this statement, Varehi Ktana, she still is a Ktana, Neman. The father has a Nemanis to say it. And as the Rishonim point out, it's not only when she's a Ktana, it's also while she is a Nara. Because the halacha is that a father can marry off his daughter both as a Ktana and as a Nara. Why does he have Nemanis? As we learned and going to learn soon, because the Torah says as Biti Nosati. The father has the right to say, as Biti Nosati, he has a right to marry off. So since he has a right to marry it off, he also has a right to say that who he married her off to. But that doesn't answer how he has a right to say that she's divorced. Where does the Torah give him that right? So there's a debate amongst Rishonim how to understand this. Some Rishonim suggest that a Ritva, that says the Mishnah is referring to a case where he said she was married, and Toich Kedei Dibur, he said, well, and then she was divorced. We have Aloha, the Toich Kedei Dibur, a person could always retract what he said. Others say that the namonis that a father has to say this stems from the pasuk, we're going to quote it in the Gemara, as biti nosati l'ish hazeh. What does as biti nosati l'ish hazeh say? That she's usher to the whole world, and ish is usher to the whole world. So if he says that she's divorced, he's saying that she's not usher to the whole world. She's only usher to kahanim or to relatives. So if he has namonis to say that she's usher to everybody as an Eishes Ish, he certainly has namonis to say that she's not usher only to a certain group. And a third shot the Rishonim suggest is what does the Torah mean when it says that the father has the right to marry off his daughter and by extension to say that she's married? He has a right to change the status, the marital, to determine the marital status of his daughter. Till now we knew that this girl was single, and now he's establishing that she's an Eishes Ish. So if the father has rights over the marital status of his daughter, it goes both ways. He also has the right to say that she's married, and now she's single. The Mefarshim ask that the Rambam paskins that a father always has the right, always has the right to say that a woman was divorced. So why do I need the Mishnah to teach me that this is a special right that belongs to the father? Here it's a right that belongs to anyone. So the Mefarshim give a number of answers. One answer they suggest is that when does an Erechon have a namonis to say that this woman is a divorcee? Is when the woman herself is not arguing. Here, but if the woman would disagree, he doesn't have that namonis. Then you need two Edim. Here, they want to suggest there's such a situation where the woman is arguing, which is difficult to follow that explanation because we're talking about a ketana. A ketana doesn't have a right to argue. So some say just the opposite. An Eid Echad has a namonis only in a case where he's saying in front of the woman. In other words, if an Eid Echad comes in front of a woman and say that she's a divorcee, he has a namonis. But here the woman is only a ketana. An Eid Echad would not be Neman. Yet the father is Neman. Another pshat, there are many answers. I'll give one more. It's as follows. It's a concept that we introduced at the end of the shiur in the previous shiur. Actually, a father may be worse than everyone else because we know relatives are usually disqualified. So even if an Eid Echad is to be trusted to say a woman is a grusha, but that wouldn't apply to a father, he's a relative, teaches us the Mishnah that even though he's a father, he has this Nemanis. However, continues the Mishnah, to say Gitashtia Vigrashtia Kshigtana, that I married her off or accepted a divorce while she was a Ktana, however now she's a Gdoila, that he doesn't have the Nemanis to say. Ain't in the man. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Nishbis, we learned the Masech the Ksubis, that the halacha is if a woman was kidnapped, then we have to assume that the kidnappers had relations with her, and therefore a woman who underwent those kind of relations can never marry a kohen, and that's why a shvuya may never marry a kohen. So he says, Nishbis ubidisiya, she was a shvuya, and I redeemed her. Benshik, and therefore she may never marry a kayin. Benshik tana benshik doila. For that, in a neman, he doesn't have namanas. Ask the Gemara. Maishna reisha, maishna seifa. Why in the reisha, when she's still a ktana, or as we said, a nara, does he have namanas? And why in the seifa, when she's already a gedoila, does she not have namanas? Answers the Gemara. Reisha biyadei. In the reisha, he has the ability to marry her off. She's still a ktana. Seifa, he no longer has the authority to marry her off, and therefore he doesn't have the namanas. Ask the Gemara, v'loi, v'Rabbi Yoda l'asir l'cholol, the kapas makuna. So the Gemara's question is as follows. We're saying that he never has the namanas to say she was a shvuya. Why? Because he doesn't have the namanas to disqualify her. He doesn't have the ability to disqualify her. Ask the Gemara, every father theoretically has the ability to disqualify his daughter. He'll marry her off to a chalal, and the Gemara is suggesting that if a woman marries a chalal, she becomes permanently disqualified to ever marrying a kayin. So if we're saying that pshat in the Mishnah is that if the father has an ability to do something, that gives him the namanas. Since the father has the ability to marry off his daughter to a chalal, which will disqualify her from ever marrying a kayin, he should have namanas to say she was a shvuya. Answers the Gemara, loikasha. That's not a question. For our Mishnah follows the opinion of the story ben Yehuda, but nice Dama b'nois Yisrael mitva l'tara l'chalolim. The story holds that if a regular Jewish woman marries a chalal, the child that will be born, the girl, not the boy, the daughter that will be born from such a marriage will not be a chalala. And then by extension, he says, wherever you have a marriage, that the daughter born of that marriage is not a chalala, her mother doesn't become a chalala. So what are we saying? That since the father has a right to marry off his daughter to a chalal, that should give him the right to say that she's a shvuya, because he's disqualifying her. She doesn't get disqualified for marrying a chalal. Ask the Gemara, v'Rabbi Yoda l'asir l'mamzer. But doesn't the father have a right to marry off to a mamzer? And if the father will marry her off to a mamzer, then she will become disqualified to a kayin. So she should have the manas to say that she was a shvuya. So the Achrayim discuss, Pnei Yeshua, Avnei Meluim, they discuss, yes, the Torah, as we quoted at the beginning of our shir, says as biti nusati lishazeh, that it gives the Torah gives the father the right to marry off his daughter. But who says that the Torah gives him the authority to marry her off to somebody she's not supposed to marry? A mamzer. So the Pnei Yeshua wants to suggest that this pasuk of as biti nusati lishazeh is in the parasha Mitzi Shemra. And the Gemara explains that indeed the person who he married her off to might have been a mamzer, that still the parasha Mitzi Shemra applies. So we see, as biti nasati l'shazeh, even applies to a mamzer. Others want to suggest that the iser of a person marrying a mamzer, the example the Gemara is referring to, is that the mamzer may not marry a regular Jewish woman. But there is no issa for the woman to marry the mamzer, which many mefarshim take exception with. If the mamzer is not allowed to marry the woman is not allowed to marry the mamzer. So Davin Melum says a nice, interesting pshat. He says the issa for a woman to marry a mamzer is if she goes with her own das and marries a mamzer, she did something wrong. She's not supposed to marry a mamzer. But, says the Avni Melum, here the woman isn't marrying herself off. Her father's marrying her off. So she's not doing anything wrong. There, she would be allowed to marry a mamzer, at least at this point of the Gemara. So now we have a situation that the father's having her disqualified from a kayin. So since by doing this, he's disqualifying her from the kuna, shouldn't he have the right to say she's a shvuya? Answers the Gemara. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Bekiva. Dama en kedushin tarsu b'chai v'lavin. The Torah doesn't recognize that marriage. And therefore, she doesn't have the right to marry her off. Because according to Bekiva, any time where there's a isser involved in the marriage, there is no marriage. Ask the Gemara, HaRabbi Yoda l'asir al-man l'kayin gadol. The Gemara suggests that even Rabbi Kiva, who says that wherever there's an isser, the marriage is not a valid marriage, al-man l'kayin gadol, even Rabbi Kiva
agrees that even though there's an Isser, it's a valid marriage. Where do we know this from? From what Reb Samoy taught us. The Tanya Reb Samoy Oimer. Menakol Isser B'Kiva Mamzer. B'Kiva says that every marriage that the Torah disallows, the Kedushin is not typhus, the Kedushin is not valid, and were these two people to live together and have offspring, the offspring is a Mamzer. Chutz, Reb Kiva agrees that Amon al Kohen Godel, Surei Amr Torah, Lo Yikach V'Lo Yichalal. And speaking about a mona not marrying a Kohen Gadol, the Torah says they shouldn't get married, but the Torah says what happens to the children? Lo Yichalal. Chalulun Ois, the children would be Chalolim, however, the Ein Ois Mamzerim. So, Kohen Reb Kiva, says the Gemara, the father can marry off his daughter on Amon al Kohen Gadol, which would disqualify this woman from ever marrying a Kohen, so therefore you should have Namanas, that she was a Shvuya. Answers the Gemara, Reb Yishevav. Amishta follows the opinion of Yishevav. Domar, who commented on what Reb Samoy said, Bovin etzaveich al Akiva ben Yosef. Let's protest against what Reb Akiva ben Yosef said. Shayayim kol bia, kol she'en loy bia, Yisrael, wherever the Torah disallows the marriage, hal vlad mamzer. So according to Reb Yishevav, there is no marriage that is going to disqualify the girl that the Torah recognizes the father can marry her off. However, drills down the Gemara. We need to understand what Rabbi Yishevav is saying. Hanichel Rabbi Yishevav, there's some that understand Rabbi Yishevav, Tam de Nafshei. Rabbi Yishevav is giving his own explanation of Rabbi Kiva's opinion. And according to Rabbi Yishevav, wherever they're not supposed to get married, no matter what the Isser is, Rabbi Kiva says the Kedushin is not typhus, the children would be mamzer. And therefore, according to him, there is never a circumstance where the father can marry off his daughter that will disqualify her from kuna. It could be, there's an opinion, that says all Rabbi Shevav is doing is arguing on Rabbi Samoy. According to Rabbi Samoy, Amon al Kohen Gadol, the Kedushin is valid, even according to Rabbi Kiva, says Rabbi Shevav, I don't agree about Amon al Kohen Gadol. But there are other marriages, a chayv es, a mitzri, a doimi, that can't come into Klal Yisrael until three generations. There, Rav Samoy, and even Rabbi Yishevav, according to this opinion, hold the Kedushin as typhus. And that would disqualify the woman from marrying a Kayin. So back to where we started. Since the father has ability to disqualify his daughter from marrying a Kayin, he should also have the ability to say that his daughter was a Shvuya. Amar of Ashi. So says Rav Ashi, our entire understanding of the Mishnah is somewhat flawed. The Tizba Reish Mishim Dev Yadahu, can we say that the Peshat of our Mishnah has to be built around what he has the right to do, the authority to do or not? Ned B'yod L'Katshay. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah started that the father has authority to say, right, we'll believe him when he says that he married off his daughter. B'yod L'Garsha. Does he have the ability to divorce her? He has the ability, as we explained, to be makabel, to accept the get. But he doesn't initiate the get. So we're saying that his namonis is built on what he can do. He can't affect the divorce. And then says the Gemara, if you think about it, he can't even affect the Kedushin. Because let's say the father will pick a chosin. He'll pick a chosin. But the chassan doesn't want to marry this girl. Could the father force the man to marry her? So he doesn't have complete authority over Kedushin either. So what is Peshat in the Mishnah? El Amar Ravashi, how do we have to understand our Mishnah? Reisha Rechmana Hemne. There's a special mnemonis that the Torah gives to a father. Rav Huna, as Rav Huna taught us. Dom Rav Huna Marav. Where do we see that the father has a right to say, my daughter is a married woman? Shnemer, as we quoted, as biti nosati l'ish hazeh. L'ish asra. By saying that he married her off to this man, he makes her into an eshesish that may not have relations with any other man. Hazeh, hitira, to say that she's mugreshes and she can marry other men. And says Rav Ashi, b'nesuin, him nerechmana. The Torah didn't give him rights without any limit only regarding her marital status. Is she in a suah? Is she a grusha? That is what the Torah gave him rights to. B'shvuya, they say that she's a shvuya, for that, lo himne, the Torah didn't give him any authority. Says the Mishnah, Misham b'shas misosai. The son is about to leave the world, and he says, yesh li bonim. Meaning, we have a couple that were married, and as far as we know, they have no children. And then, and therefore, this woman, everybody always assumed, if a husband will pass away, will be a candidate for Yibum or Chalitza. And he says, well, you know, I have children, and therefore she's not a candidate, says the Mishnah Neman. So the Mefarshim ask, why does the Mishnah have to say B'shas Misosai? So the Taisus Yontov explains the Mishnah fairly simply. It's typical that a person is going to settle his affairs before he passes away. Others want to explain that that person, right before he's about to leave the world, is usually going to be honest. So we would think that he's Neman, no matter what he says. Says the Mishnah, if he says Yeshli Achim, so we had this couple. Nebuch didn't have any children. But also, we were always under the impression that he has no brothers, and therefore this woman will not be a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. And now he's changing it by saying Yeshli Achim, and in Neman, he's not Neman. Alma, says the Gemara, Neman Lahatir, if we learn the Mishnah, as we just did fairly simply, a husband could be Matir, his wife. A husband could take a woman who he assumed will require Yibam Chalitza and change things around and make her no longer required to have it. Vein and Nemelesser. But to say a woman who he assumed will not have to have Yibam Chalitza and have to have it, that he doesn't have the ability. Ask the Gemara, name Masnissan, the like Reb Nosson. As Mishnah seems not to follow the opinion of Reb Nosson. The Tanya. It says in a Braisa, B'shas Kedushim, Ami Yesh Libonim. A couple get married, and when the husband takes the wife, he says, Yesh li bonim. Why does he say Yesh li bonim? Because his wife, the woman, will not agree to marry him if the result of their marriage may put her in a circumstance that she'll have to have Yibam Chalitza. She doesn't want to go through that. She says, no, you'll never have a problem. Yesh li bonim, I have children. And as Rashi points out, the Gemara is not referring, the Braisa is not referring to a situation where he made this statement as a stipulation in the marriage. Because then Mamonoshach, if he has children, so she's not going to be a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. If he indeed doesn't have children, so then it was a Mekachtos. Because he tied his marriage to him having children and he didn't. So it was never a marriage in the first place. Here he just made this statement. He made a statement that Yesh li bonim, and now B'shas Mis is about to die, Omar ein li bonim. He said, no, I really never had children. Or, B'shas Kedushin Omar ein li achim. Again, he said, I don't have brothers, and therefore you are not a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. I have no brothers. And again, B'shas Mis is about to die, Omar Yesh li achim. I have brothers. Says the Mishnah, says Rebbe, Neman lahatir, to change her status, that we thought she's going to have Yibam, to change it that she won't, we believe him, Vein Neman Lasser, Divrei Rebbe, which is seemingly exactly what our Mishnah said. However, Reb Nosson Omar Af Neman Lasser, he is even Neman to change her status from a woman who he assumed will not have to have Yibam Chalitza, to change her status that she will. So isn't this clearly contradictory to our Mishnah? So Rava says, Omer Rava, Shani Hassam. Our Mishnah could be consistent even with Reb Nosson's opinion. Kivin, the B'shas, Misa Kahadar, as we said in the Mishnah, when is this person retracting? Where is he giving us this new information as he's about to die? We have to assume that a person as he's about to die is going to be honest, and therefore, Ema Kushta Kamalei. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. I don't understand. V'lag kaldechenu. Ha hashta. O ma hosam. The Kamari. Leila deburei. If in the Braisa, where he is making what he said, changing what he said, I have children, and now he says I don't have children. He said, I didn't have brothers, and now he says, I do have brothers, or vice versa. Amr Kush the Kamer, we still believe him, even though he's saying, I'm a liar. Certainly, Masnison, the Lokamar Balad Buri, Amishta isn't referring to a situation where he ever made a statement. So certainly he should be believed. Koshke. So why are you saying that in the Brisa, where he changed his tune, I'm going to believe him? And in the Mishnah, where he didn't change his tune, I'm not going to believe him. If anything, I should certainly believe him in the Mishnah, where he never lied. So if I believe him where he lied, according to Reb Nosson and the Brisa, I certainly should believe him when he didn't lie in the Mishnah. So what we're up to now is that it seems that Reb Nosson is disagreeing with our Mishnah. Elam Abaya, says Abaya, the Mishnah and the Brisa are talking about different circumstances altogether. Masnisin de lemuchsulam ba'achi. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation that we don't have, that we assume he has no brothers. Lemuchsulam ba'bani. And we don't know, and we assume he has no children. Kivin de lemuchsulam ba'bnei v'b'ba'achi. So this woman is in a status that there's no sons or there's no brothers, and therefore that she either is or isn't a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. Amma Yeshli Barim. So now he says that I do have children. Neman, we believe him. Because he's giving her a status of Heter. Yeshli Achim. But now, we were always under the assumption that he has no brothers. And now he comes and he says, I do have brothers. Ain't a Neman. Why not? Lav Kamenei Da'asa Kulama. We have a Chazakah. We have an assumption that this woman will not be a candidate for Yibam Mechalitza, and we can't just change it. However, the Braisa is a much more complicated case. The Braisa, says the Gemara, is the Muchsulam Ba'achi, the Lay Muchsulam Ba'bani. We have an individual. As far as we all know about this individual, he is a person that has brothers and has no children. So his wife will be a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. Now, he comes and says, I have no brothers. We believe him. That meaning, why do we believe him? Mali Lashaka. My comer. Why is he saying this? Why should we be concerned when he says that he has no brothers, or he says he has sons? Because he's doing it Lemifter Miyava. As I explained in Amud Aleph, because otherwise the woman may not want to marry him. The woman's going to say, I'm not interested in getting involved with a marriage that may lead to Yibam Chalitza. He has another way of saving her. Matzi Oma, Pratana Lech Begita. He could say, you know what? You don't want to have the problem of Yibam Chalitza. I'll make sure that there's a get prepared that should be valid. We had so many times these examples. Before I pass away, see, anyway, we'll be a Megureshes by the time I pass away, and you won't be a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. So that gives us a Migui, and that gives us a reason to believe him when he says, I have no brothers or I have children. Rebbe Summit. So again, let's just review where we're up to. We assume that this man has brothers and no children. He comes along and says, I have no brothers. So we're believing him with the migui of Mali Lashaka. Rebbe Sava, now he's about to die, and he says, I have children, or he says, more relevant to us, I have brothers. So now the question is, how do we view the whole story? Let's just review. We have three stages. First, we assumed that she would be a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. Then it changed, and that she isn't, because he has no brothers, according to him, and now it's changing back that he does have brothers. Rebbe Sava, Mali Lashaka, Kedem Dami. When we were always assuming that he has brothers before the marriage or at the marriage, and then he came along at the time of the marriage and said, I have no brothers, and as we said on top of this Amid, we believed him when he said he had no brothers, because he has the Migui of Mali Lashaka. What is the power of that Migui? What is the power of that Mali Lashakar? The power is it's as strong as Adam. So we have Adam. The Mali Lashakar creates a situation that it's as if we have Adam that he has brothers. For us, Adam. So the Adam that are, so to speak, testifying at the moment of marriage, when he's saying Yeshli Achim, he has brothers, take away the chazaka that he doesn't have, takes away that the Adam that say that he doesn't have brothers, takes away the chazaka that he has brothers. And that's how he lives. Now he can't, at the moment of death, change that. We have Adam that he has no brothers. Rav Nosson Sover, Nosson says, we started with a chazaka that he has brothers. Then he said he has no brothers, and we believed it with a Mali L'Shakr. Mali L'Shakr is very nice, but it says Rav Nosson, let's not get carried away with it. All Mali L'Shakr does is, we have two chazakas, two conflicting chazakas. The original chazaka that he has brothers, and another chazaka that he has no brothers. The Rav Nosson Sover, Mali L'Shakr, ki chazaka domi. So we have two conflicting chazakas. One that existed before the marriage, that he has brothers. The other chazaka that he has no brothers. So they're sort of in limbo. And then if at the moment of death, or before his death, he says, well, I really do have brothers, since we never really had a situation, according to Rav Nosson, that there were a real edus that he has no brothers, we taka believe him that he has brothers, and she'll have to have Yibam Uchalitza. That's how we understand the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is not talking about this type of a complicated case. Before we finish the sugya, we know we've learned many times that the Torah says that a father has a right to say Zebani. Because the Pasuk says in Parashat Kisaitse, his Yakir. Father has the right to determine and identify somebody as a child. According to Alan Gemara, it's not true, because we're saying that the father doesn't have a right to say, under all circumstances, Yeshli Bonim. Why not? Doesn't he have the ability of Yakir? So someone suggests that Yakir only applies where it's not to the detriment of someone else. Here it may be to someone else's detriment, having Yibum or not having Yibum, there you can't rely on Yakir, which is a very difficult pshat. I'll tell you why it's a difficult pshat. Every Yakir, by definition, is to the detriment. What does Yaakov say? That this child is a Bechor. He's going to get a bigger portion of Yerusha than his brothers. Or the Yaakov says that he's a much son, and he deserves a portion of the Yerusha, which is, again, going to diminish the Yerusha of the other brothers. So that's why Rabbi Chanan says a very interesting teretz. He says, what does Yaakov say? A father could say, this is my son. But you know what a father could say, this is my son? If there's a child, there's a man, there's have to be a child, in front of us, and he says, this man that we could point to is my son. Then Yakir, the Torah gives him that ability. However, just to say I have a son that he can't point to and say this is the man that's my son, Yakir doesn't give him that authority. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, applying it to our sugya, when we speak about the father saying Yeshli Bonim, and under certain circumstances we just learned in the sugya that he's not Neman, that are only in the situation where he's not pointing to a real person, saying, I have children, and therefore you're exempt from Yibam Mechalitza. But he can't bring a live person and say, this is the person. If he ever doesn't just make an ambiguous, vague statement, Yeshli Bonim, but rather he shows the child, then it could be that he would always be Neman. Says the Mishnah. HaMekadosh Bitoy Stam. If somebody's Mekadosh, we learned this already in Daf Nun Aleph, the sugya, HaMekadosh is Bitoy Stam, and a Bogris Bechlal. You know, he says I married off a daughter, but he doesn't identify which daughter. As we learned, and we're going to review it again today in the Gemara, there's no child that the Bogris are not the question that he was Mekadosher. And as we learned, if you'll recall, the sugya on Daf Nun Aleph, the sugya Bakadusha and Masur and Labia, there are two ways of understanding our Mishnah. One way, according to the Man Dominant, says Kedushin She'en Mesurim Labia Lo'yava Kedushin, is that he once knew. Just now, he doesn't remember who it was. Because otherwise, it was never a marriage in the first place. Or, he never really properly identified. Mishesh L'Shnei Kitei Bonas. Let's say, again, in this way, Rashi, most Rishonim explained the Gemara. There was a man who was married to two women, but not at the same time. He was married to one woman, had two daughters with her. Then that marriage terminated, and he married a second woman and had two daughters with a second wife. So he has two pairs of daughters. Mishlei shtei kitei bonim mishtei noshim. He has two pairs of daughters from two different wives. V'amekadashti espiti hagdoila. He says, I married my old, I married off my oldest daughter. But we don't know who that means. Doesn't mean any idea. Im gdoilish begdoilish doesn't mean the very oldest daughter. Or gdoilish begtanis. Or maybe it's the second daughter who's older than anyone from the second pair. Or ktana, or gdoila. Im gdoilish begdoilish. Or gdoilish begtanis, I'm sorry. Gdoilish begtanis means the oldest of the second pair. Or ktanish begdoilish. Or the youngest of the first pair. She gdoila min gdoilish begtanis. That she's older than the oldest, even of the second pair. The halacha is kulan achsuris. We don't know who gedayla means. And therefore, Remeya holds that we have a shaila on every one of these, of the four girls I identified. We have a question on three of them, and all three of them main our question of being an Eishes Ish. Chutz min aktanah shebaktanah stev Remeya. Remeya says, the only one that we know for sure is not a problem is the youngest. So, ask the Mefarshim, why don't we say Bittel Barayv? We have four girls here. Even if we'll take out the young sons, we have three girls. From those three girls, only one is an Eishes Ish, and two are not. So why don't we say that the Eishes Ish is bottle in the ones that are not Eishes Ish? So one teretz, which is a concept that I've said here many times, is that the only time we say Bittel is when there was something that was separate and then had a taruvus, meaning we had kosher piece of meat, non-kosher meat, separate. And then they got mixed together. Meat and bas b'chol the same. Here there was never a time there was mutter. And therefore, it's awesome. Therefore, we can't say bittel b'roif. Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shar Yosha says a different word. He says like this. What does bittel b'roif say? Let's say I have three pieces of meat. Two are kosher and one is not. And they get mixed up. So now I want to come eat the meat. So every piece of meat that I pick up, I could assume because of roiv is the kosher piece of meat, and I may eat it. Here, roiv doesn't change the shaila. I never knew who is the one that was mutter and who was the one that aser. And you can't rely on roiv to change that. And therefore, you can't use the concept of bittel b'roiv. Rabbi Yossi says no. Kol mataris. All of them are mutter, chutz min hagdolos shebegdolos. We know when he says the word Gedayla, he meant the oldest of all of his children. Another case. Kidashti is biti iktana. I married off my youngest daughter. Veni yidei. And again, we don't know who did he mean. And again, the same story with these two pairs of daughters. Did he mean iktana shebiktanis? Did he mean the youngest? Iktana shebiktanis? The youngest of the oldest pair? Or Gedayla shebiktanis? The oldest of the youngest pair? Shiktana min iktanis. She's still younger than anyone from the first pair. Shiktana min aktana shebegdolos. She's still younger than anyone from the older pair. Here aloch is, kulan asuris. The three younger daughters are asur. Chutz min aktana shebegdolos. Besides the oldest of the oldest pair, she's certainly not in the question. Divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yossi, I'm again Rabbi Yossi according to his opinion, kulan mataris, chutz min aktana shebegdolos. Except for the youngest. That's the one that he must have meant. If you use the word Tana, that's who he obviously meant. Ask the Gemara, Haktanis Bechlau. It seems that all of the girls who are Ktanois are a question. Shmamino, Kedushin Shem Surim Labia, have a Kedushin. In other words, our Mishnah says, seems to be speaking about, in a case that we have more than one Ktanah. And we don't know who is the one that he included. And therefore, both are Asur. But isn't this a situation that since we don't know who he meant, so we have a Kedushin that the husband will never be able to consummate the marriage, because it could be Tzachos Ishtoi. And Rav Rava holds, Kedushin Sheinim Asurim Labia, lo have a Kedushin. Haktanim Bechlal, Ma'amina, Kedushin Sheinim Asurim Labia, have a Kedushin. And it says, the Gemara, Hachim Ma'askinin, Sheein Shem El Gedoyla V'Ketana. There's only one Gedoyla and one Ketana. So there's no question who is included and who is not. Ask them of Aboygris Ketani. Again, I'm talking about the first case. Mekadosh is Pita Istam, when he's Mekadosh's daughter. Let's review again. He's Mekadosh's daughter, so he said, and Aboygris Beklal. So our mission assumes that there was more than one Ketana, so how could that be a good Kedushin? He says, I married off my daughter, maybe, which we don't know which daughter. So this Kedushin Shenim Surin Labia. So the Gemara is talking about one Ketana, so there's no problem. Again, so what is the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah saying is if a father has, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where there's one ketana, one begeris, we say that he certainly meant the ketana, not the begeris. Ask the Gemara for a begeris ketani. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question is as follows. If we're saying there's only one ketana, the Mishnah must be consistent, there's only one begeris. But let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah is begeris, that there are many begeris. Says the Gemara, my begeris doesn't mean that this father has many begeris. The father only has one begeris. My begeris, begeris to Alma. He's saying he has one daughter who's a begeris, who's from the group of begeris of the world, and he has one ketana. So in a case like this, just to review where we're up to, where father has two daughters, a begeris and a ketana, and he says I was mekadosh a daughter, we assume that he was mekadosh to ketana. Says the Gemara, pshita, begeris my ma'avadatayu. A father has no right to marry off a begeris. As we said at the beginning of our shir, a father has the right to marry off a ketana, a naru, but not a begeris. Answers the Gemara, hachamai skinin, the shavisa shliach. The father, the begeris, appointed a father to be a shliach. So madatayim, so we would say, ki makabal kedushay, adatad doka makabal. Even though a father doesn't have the authority to marry off his begeris, but if his daughter, the begeris, asked him to marry her off, there we would think he does marry her off. Kamash Malon teaches us the Mishnah, L'shavik inish midi de islei ha-nominei v'ovev midi de lesnei ha-nominei. He, by the ketana, who's going to get the kesef kedushin? The father. But the begeris, he's not going to get the kesef kedushin. So that's why our Mishnah assumes that he's going to marry off the daughter of ketana, that he can be able to keep the kesef kedushin. Ask the Gemara, if the daughter, who's a begeris, asked the father to marry her off, didn't she also assume that he'll keep the kesef kedushin? Milay skinin, darm le kedusha lach. So what are we saying, that the father's going to marry off the ketana because he's going to keep the kesef kedushin? Whereas when he marries off the begeris, he doesn't. Later begeris said, you can. Says the Gemara, afil hachi, l'shavik inish mitzvah de ramyalei, v'yavim mitzvah de lo ramyalei. A father has the obligation to marry off a daughter who's a ketana. He doesn't have the same obligation for begeris. So when we have a question, who did the father marry off, the begeris or the ketana, we say he certainly married off the ketana. That is his mitzvah, more than marrying off the begeris. But I want to make a number of comments. Firstly, one shouldn't make a mistake, where Moshe points this out, that even though the Gemara is saying the father has a mitzvah to marry off the ketana, that his father, as soon as the girl becomes a begeris, has no obligation to marry off his begeris. Certainly a father has an obligation to marry off a begeris also. Just, it's not as much of a mitzvah as a ketana. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, this that the Mishnah says, the Gemara, in explaining the Mishnah, that the father is going to marry off the ketana before the begeris, is only in a case where the begeris made him a shliach without saying, that's the man. But let's say we have a case that a begeris not only appointed a father to be shliach, not only said you're going to keep the kesef of kedushin, but he also said, and this is the man who I want you to effect the kedushin with, even though she's a begeris, and even though there's a sister who's a ketana, who the father has more of an obligation to marry off, we're going to assume that he did what he was asked, and he didn't take the man that his daughter begeris asked for and just switch him to another daughter who's a ketana. There's an interesting Rashba. The Rashba said because of these considerations that we're learning here, that the confusion that can ensue in a father marrying off a daughter who's a begeris, he says it's inappropriate that even if a daughter's a begeris should appoint a father to be her shliach, to be makabel kedushin for her. Because we can have all sorts of confusion. Again, in our world, it's not that relevant. People accept their own kedushin. I'm talking about the Rashba says, la halacha. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch says that l'chatchila, a father should follow the opinion of the Rashba, and a father should not be a shliach for a daughter who's a begeris. He should only, but the Eved, if he was, it will still be a valid kedushin. So then we spoke about the case, but Mishesh l'shtei kitei bonus, but tzricha. So Mishnah really spoke about two cases. One was the case of Gedoyla, and one was the case of Ketana, where Ramei says, three by Gedoyla, all three older ones, and by Ketana, all three younger ones. And Rabbi Yosi said, the Gedoyla means the oldest, and the Ketana means the youngest. So the question is, why does the Mishnah have to give us two examples of essentially the exact same machloikas. The tricha. The Ashmin Kamaisa, if we already had the first machloikas, Bahach Kamarameya, the Kivan Dika the Zutramina, there's always somebody younger. We have these four girls. There's always somebody younger besides the youngest one. Lahach Gedoyla Karla. And the basis of this explanation is, maybe in our world it's different, but in those world, in their world, being called a godel, being called older, was a compliment. So the father might have used this complimentary term on any of the three older girls. Al-Baha, being called a ktana, is derogatory. Eima Moidel Rameya, Eima Moidel Rabbi Yossi, Ramey will agree to Rabbi Yossi. The ktana lahach, the ktana the kurla. The father is not going to use the word ktana, only where it's of absolutely appropriate, which is only on the youngest. That's why Ramey had Mishnah teaches that case. V'yitmin b'ha, and if we only had the case of ktana, we would say, b'ha kam Reb Yossi. By this case, does Reb Yossi say it means the ktana? A'b'hach, eimim moidel Rameya, that the father may have used the term gedoyla to any of the three older daughters. That's why tzricha. We have to have the machloikas quoted twice. Says the Gemara, lememra. So from learning the Mishnah, what do we see? The Rameya sava machas inish l'nafshe l'sveika. According to Rameya, a person could use a term that will end us up with confusion. He used the word gedoyla, and it can mean three. It can mean any one of three of these girls. We use the word ketana. It can mean any of three girls. Rabbi Yossi Sover, just the opposite. Loy machas inish l'sveika. If he said gedoyla, he certainly meant the oldest, says Rabbi Yossi. If he said ketana, he certainly meant the youngest. Says the Gemara v'ifcha shemeni lo. We see that the opinion of Ramey and Rabbi Yossi is just the opposite. The Tanan, hanoy de ara Pesach. If somebody says another is not going to do something or do something until Pesach, the loch is osa shigir. It means he meant until Pesach comes. Achi hey Pesach. If he said in his nether, I will or won't do something until hey Pesach, what he meant is osa chiyetz. It means until Pesach is over. At pnei Pesach. What happens if we use the word at pnei Pesach? Remeya oimer, it means at shiagia, because since the word pnei is a very ambiguous word, it could mean till before Pesach. It could mean till before the last day, because every day of Pesach, there's another day afterwards. Or it could mean till Pesach is over. So Remeya says, l'machas inish l'ash l'sveika, we don't use ambiguous terms, and he obviously meant until Pesach. Rabbi Yossi Amar Achiyetzi. We don't know, and we have to wait till after Pesach. So there we see Rabbi Yossi says that a person puts himself into a suffix, and Ramey says a person doesn't. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chanina Bar Avdimi, Amar Rav, Mechlef Sashita. We have to switch the opinions in the Mishnah Masech and the Dorim. Rabbi Yossi is the man that says that we don't know, and Ramey is the one that says we do know. Vatanya, and says the Gemara, we have a brice to corroborate this. Zeklau, kol shizmana kavua, v'ama ad p'nei, Ramey ama chiyetze, because Ramey is the one that says we don't know. And Rabbi Yossi sava, oimer, ad shegia, it means until it comes, because according to Rabbi Yossi, loimachas inish nafshi l'sveika. I saw that the Shalos HaTshuvos Chelkos Yaakov uses this concept of loimachas inish nafshi l'sveika to talk about an interesting shaila. We know that when a person gives a Sefer Torah, typically what he's supposed to do is make a Tanai, that the Sefer Torah remains mine. I'm leaving it by the Shul, but it's mine. There was a question that a person gave a Sefer Torah and wasn't sure if he made a Tanai, if he made the Tanai properly, and now he was moving. So he wanted to take a Sefer Torah with him. And the people of the Shul said, no, you gave it to us permanently. So he says, since the person made some sort of a statement, albeit that the statement was somewhat ambiguous, we have a klal machas inish nafshi l'sveika. We have to define it that he certainly meant that he's only giving it as long as he's in the community. He could take it when he wants, and therefore the Chelkos Yaakov says he's allowed to take the Sefer Torah.